A Minnesota state lawmaker says this new paid leave program going in a few days is a hotbed for more fraud and should be shut down, at least for a while. The North Dakota Highway Patrol says the new state seatbelt law is a hotbed for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And North Dakota is becoming, unfortunately, a hotbed for the flu, says the State Department of Health. Good afternoon, my friend. Great to be with you here on the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Tuesday afternoon. Hopefully, we are a hotbed of good information and good times here in your late afternoon, and we're thankful that you've chosen to hang out with us for a little while. A lot of places you can go to get your news, entertainment, information, all of that, and we're glad that you come here each day to do that with us. My show is moving, starting on Monday, to 9 a.m., yes, it's going to be a bit of a change. Addison and I have to get up a little earlier in the morning. I don't know. I'd like to say, though, who asked us about this? But I guess they did ask me about this. You probably are
a little more
reactionary. You're just like, okay, whatever we're going to do here. So
yeah, that's about what happened.
So it's going to be a little bit of a different show. We won't be able to kind of recap the day. We'll be sort of previewing the day a little bit more. But a lot of stuff happens overnight and early in the morning, so I can't wait. Going to be a good time, so we'll have live local programming all day long here on the Flag starting on Monday. Excited about that. Also excited that tomorrow we get back on the horse for our Warm Your Heart Wednesday feature from Grateful Cratefuls. You can nominate one of your friends and neighbors whose faith shines bright as they serve with love. And every Wednesday, Amy from Grateful Cratefuls will draw a winner for a one-of-a-kind gift crate. Go to am1100theflag.com. Scroll down to the Faith and Community Spotlight graphic and click through to submit somebody special. It is January. January Eve, but I can't do that quite yet. We'll wait until tomorrow to do that. It's December 30th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And we are here every day to make sure we do not forget how foolish this whole thing is. And we are now actually about halfway through the year, or at the midpoint of the off season, and I only have to say this foolishness for maybe another 6 months or so until we have another State Minnesota High School Girls Softball Tournament, and hopefully a guy does not win it for his team. So we can only hope. If you want to give us a call today, we would hope for a few phone calls on the show today. 701-271-1100, that's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.co. That's 701-271-1100. You can email us, studio@flagfamily.com. You can text me at 701-237-1590. Lots of ways to make your voice heard on the program today. Coming up on the show, we're going to be visiting with Minnesota State Senate Minority Leader Mark Johnson from East Grand Forks. He's one of the highest-ranking members of the state legislature, certainly within the minority party, which sadly is still the Republicans. And we're going to ask Mark about all this stuff happening. They've known that there has been a few things going on for a while. All of this stuff that a lot of us are just learning about right now is not necessarily new to people like Mark. But the scale of it probably has taken on a little bit more of a meaning. We'll ask him about that today. And the question I have is, how do we get back this, whatever it is, $8, $10 billion? Is there any way that we can get this money back? It is the money of people of Minnesota and, in a way, the money of the American taxpayer, because it's federal money in many cases that went back to Minnesota or that went to Minnesota. And then ended up disappearing into people's pockets, some of it taken overseas, and other countries, other people, who maybe even other terrorist groups, getting rich off of our tax money. You got to laugh so you don't cry, because it can make you darn mad if you let it. And I think we have all experienced some of that. So we'll find out from Mark today, how can we get any of this money back? And what can we do about this going forward here? There's a lot of scrutiny going on right now, but is it just a matter of, you know, wait till everybody goes home and then we'll just get right back to the money machine? I don't know. So we're going to ask him about all those things coming up here today on the show. A landmark in Fergus Falls is for sale. They can't find a buyer. And those of us who have had something to eat at the Dairyland Drive-In may be seeing the end of an era coming. We don't like that. We'll talk in the second hour today about more information coming out about this assault of a young woman in Jamestown. And this was done by a community leader and someone who taught in the schools. And it really feels to me, after reading some of the details today about this case, that someone should have seen this coming. My gosh. So we'll talk about that. There was a fantastic exchange yesterday on CNN. And I've told you many times, I watch it so you don't have to. Actually, this one I saw on social media, where Scott Jennings stood up for all rational human beings in the United States of America and called out one of the CNN commentators on the way they were trying to desperately stand up for the Somali community in Minneapolis. And I don't mind fair defense of people here, but there's been some discussion that, well, you can't say the word Somali or Somalian in regard to this. It, nationality has nothing to do with it. And Scott Jennings says, oh, wait just a minute here. We have some statistics that back this up. And another part of the conversation was absolutely scintillating when he talked about how we should be looking at situations like this, and where some of the traditional defenses that are being put together now by liberal groups just don't hold water. And this whole idea that nobody can criticize anybody here, he really got after that. We'll talk a little bit that about that today as well. And then before we finish up, is it good to have 3% mortgages? If you like that and you say yes, raise your hand. My hand is in the air. Yours probably is too. One well-known financial pro says no, and he actually has a pretty good point on that. So we have a lot of ground to cover here on the show today. Excited to do the deal with you again here on the program on this Tuesday afternoon. Just two more shows today and tomorrow before we turn the page to a new year. Are you excited about the new year? I am. I think 2026 is going to be an amazing year in so many ways, in the economy, in our society as well. Donald Trump has had only 1 year, not even a full year yet. We've got one more year of Trump policy that will be kicking in 2026. And it should hopefully mean more common sense and more things like we're seeing now. The microscope, the floodlights being shined on these dark corners. And we are taking care of waste and fraud and abuse in so many places. I can't wait to see where we are a year from now. All right, let's get going with the 4 o'clock wrap here. Semi-automatic storylines, rapid-fire rundown of your Tuesday in the world and the community as well. And it's brought to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, 15 minutes or less to buy a car, truck, or SUV. We'll start out with the almanac for today, December 30th. Today, average high 20, average low 3. And, hey, we were actually above average today. Last temp check I saw was 35. I'll refresh my screen here and see what I can come up with for a temperature reading. And I'm getting, 35 now. So we're staying right about there. Winds out of the northwest at 11 miles an hour. Record high for today, 42. Record low, minus 29. 42 was in 1929. Minus 29 was in 1976. Sunrise this morning was at 8:12, and the sun will set at 4:47. We will gain another 44 seconds of daylight today. Rejoice, my friends, rejoice. CNBC tells us it was a down day on Wall Street, but small losses across the board. The Dow was down 94 points, S&P 500 down 9, NASDAQ down 55. Usually there's a little bit of buying at the end of the year, but a little bit of selling too. People wanting to make sure that they have some of those really sexy names in their portfolio. So at the end of the quarter, they can say, oh, yeah, we had shares of Steve's Auto or whatever in their portfolio there. But not a whole lot of buying going on today. WTI crude oil, pretty much unchanged at $58 a barrel. Gold and silver, boy, what a wild ride silver has gone on. All of a sudden, somebody decided that silver should just trade like Bitcoin, up about 8% today after being down about 8% yesterday, up $5.55 an ounce at $76.02. Gold today, ho-hum, up $8.70 at $4,352. Your Bitcoin today is worth about $1,100 more than it was yesterday, $88,316. And AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas down another penny from yesterday at $2.82. The average price in North Dakota, $2.57. Minnesota, $2.64. South Dakota, $2.59. I did check what I believe to be the lowest price in gas in town. It's the Fleet Farm off I-29. At least that's the lowest I've seen as I've driven around. $2.02. I wish they would just drop it down to $1.99 so I could take a little selfie and put it out and talk about it here on the radio. They are typically among the lowest price. Now, the Costco's and places like that, if you got a little membership, you might be able to get it for a little bit less. But have not heard that we are sub $2 anywhere quite yet, although we're sure flirting with that. If you've seen $1.90-something gas, let me know. Would love to hear from you, 271-1100. Diesel fuel today, $3.56 a gallon, unchanged from yesterday. All right, let's take a look at some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Tuesday afternoon. Minnesota State Representative Jim Joy of Hawley. He is calling for Minnesota's paid family medical leave program to be suspended, at least temporarily, while they sort out the details of the fraud going on in other state programs. He said on our airwaves earlier today, right now Minnesota has a fraud problem. I don't think we should be starting any new programs. I think everything should be suspended or held up for a while. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota says half of $18 billion in Medicaid claims paid to Minnesota programs could be bogus. And there are 14 state programs, 14, that have been targeted for fraud. The paid family leave plan goes into effect January 1st, and it gives Minnesota workers up to 20 weeks of leave per year. There's a lot of little details to that. We'll maybe cover that tomorrow before we get into the new year. I've had to learn a lot about this because we have a business over in Minnesota, Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And I'm telling you what, this is going to be disaster is too strong of a word. We overuse those words sometimes, but the employees are going to have money taken out of their paycheck, and most of them don't know it. And they're going to have a smaller paycheck. They're going to go down the road to the store, and things are going to cost more. Then they're going to go home and get their tax bill, and the municipalities all have to give this benefit out too, so it's going to cost them. So they're going to raise taxes on all the things that they do. It's just... disaster is too strong, but mess, I think, absolutely works. I'm with Jim. They should suspend it, and not because of the fraud. There's plenty of reasons on its own. That's just not a good idea. All right, WDAY radio reports that North Dakota Highway Patrol numbers show that deadly crashes have gone down in the state since the primary seatbelt law went into effect August of 2023, which allows law enforcement to pull over a driver only if they're not wearing a seatbelt. They don't need any other reason there. Captain Brian Neewin said last year there were 89 crashes. The year before, 105. This year in 2025, so far, just 80. Captain Neewin said that amount of crashes, fatal crashes, has not been seen in about 50 years. So he says this new program is definitely working. Valley News Live reports that North Dakota is experiencing a significant surge in influenza cases. Health officials say there's an increase in hospitalizations and deaths attributed to the flu, COVID-19, and RSV. Last week alone, the state recorded more than 870 new flu cases, and the symptoms are somewhat similar between all of them, but some of these viruses are much better or worse at other things than others. So people are talking about putting mask requirements back on at hospitals and things like that. But just know that if you feel like there's more junk going around than there was maybe a month ago, you are right. I guess it's that time of year. Valley News Live reports that Clay County commissioners earlier today declined to repurchase flood diversion project land that was originally bought for more than $4 million. It's now being offered for $111,000. It is a segment of land, 22.3 acres, in Holy Cross Township. It's owned by the Morehead Clay County Joint Powers Authority. They bought it with the whole flood diversion thing going on there, but the properties have been declared excess land because they're no longer needed. The properties were bought between 2017 and 2023 for $4.03 million. The authority is offering them for sale at $5,000 an acre. Clay County does not need this land, said Jenny Monjo. She said we should disperse this land as well. The previous owners said, they didn't want to keep the land after the easements were all established there. So somebody overpaid. The forum reports today that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will award $193 million to the Minnesota Department of Health to be used on bolstering rural health care. It was announced today. And you can see where I'm going on this one, can't you? It's the state's first year of funding through the Rural Health Transformation Program, a five-year funding program that President Trump signed into law in July. And you just have to wonder, don't you, if plans are already underway for somebody to set up whatever, fake health clinics in outstate Minnesota in order to be getting all this money. We're going to send another $200 million to the state of Minnesota, federal money that's going to end up who knows where. So we'll have to watch and see what happens there. The United States Drug Enforcement Agency is warning of something new called purple fentanyl spreading through the Midwest. And the bummer of this deal is, Valley News Live reports, that naloxone or Narcan may not work against it. It has been seized in Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Minnesota. The pills and powder have a distinctive purple hue. Oh, good. Another way to kill us, and this time we can't get away with it with the Narcan. And finally, Essentia Health has released the most popular baby names for 2025. The most popular boy's name at the Essentia Network there, Theodore. There were 11 Theodores born. Number two, tying for number two, with six boys. The names Everett, Henry, Hudson, and Otto. And there were five Bennetts, five Elijahs, and five Rowans, R-O-W-A-N. All right, girls' most popular name, Charlotte. Love that name. What a sweet name. Nine girls named Charlotte, born at Essentia Hospitals. There were seven girls named Amelia, Adeline, Adeline, or some other version, some other different spelling. Basically, it's Amelia or Adeline. So that's a popular name. And third place, you're going with the Haleys, the Paisleys, or the Anna Lynns. So there you go. Those are the most popular baby names coming out of Essentia this year. It's 426 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we return, a landmark in Fergus Falls is for sale and they can't find a buyer. What will become of the Dairyland Drive-In? That's next. I have to admit to you that I don't think I have ever been to the Dairyland Drive-In in Fergus Falls. Addison has and says that I have missed out on a real treat.
It's pretty good. I've been there twice over the years. I had a very short tenure in Fergus Falls. It was good. I really liked it.
Was it court order? They kicked you out of town or what happened there?
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Okay.
That's why you got stuck with me. That's how this happened.
I figured you had a checkered past, judging from some of the things I've seen going on there in the control room. Completely joking there. The Dairyland Drive-In opened in 1955, known for the burgers, fries, ice cream, and outdoor seating with a car hop service. There have been a couple times, apparently, over the years where it has faced a potential sale and closure, but they've been ticking right along. But Valley News Live reports that Dairyland is officially for sale. The family, which has operated for decades, is seeking a new owner to continue the legacy, but so far they haven't found anybody. They're asking the community to help spread the word to find the right person to take over the beloved business. Courtney Lockie with that story on ValleyNewsLive.com. So, I had one of my first dreams as a kid. I've always had a little bit of entrepreneurship in me. I wanted to open a steakhouse. I love a good steak. I always have. Grew up on a hog and cattle farm. I just thought, putting together the Hallstrom Steakhouse or whatever you'd call it would just be a cool thing. But oh my gosh, I can't think of a harder business to run these days than restaurant. If the economy turns, nobody's going to come, or you know they're going to come a lot less, and you got to find people. And these days, like if I'm going to, the next business I open is going to be like an automated something or another way. I don't have to have anybody there. You know, swipe your card to get in, go in and use your card to pay for whatever you're paying for. I don't know, the car washes or the, what else? The fitness centers, that might work. You know, laundromat, maybe, those kind of things. That's the kind of business I want to run because it is impossible to find people and it costs a fortune. You got to get insurance and all that stuff. I don't know how we're paying less than $50 for a pizza these days, honestly. I guess we are in a lot of cases. So it's going to be hard, I think, to find somebody. And if you're going to do a restaurant, you got to be open, right? I mean, you can't just be open 9 to 5. You got to be open nights, weekends. That's when people generally are going out to eat. It's a tough business. If you're in the restaurant business, man, do I have respect for you. I think it'd be a fun business to be in because what could be better than serving good food to hungry people? And, you know, building up a name, but man, it's not easy. It's not easy to do any business. You got to buy insurance for anything these days or, you know, buy a building or rent a building. It's, man, the costs are insane. But I hope they find somebody at the Dairyland Drive-In in Fergus Falls. Good luck to them. If you got a good memory of the Dairyland, text me 701-237-1590. By the way, from the text line, hey, Steve, Quick Star on 45th Street last week had gas at $1.85 a gallon. Is that like the E85, E15, E85, the ethanol blend of stuff? I know that's been below $2, but I'm looking for the regular unleaded. The one on 25th, according to the same text, is $1.99 today. Now, that sounds like it might be regular unleaded. 25th, the Quick Star on 25th. Where is that? Why can I not place the Quick Star on 25th? I guess a Quick Star is going in just up the road here, not far from where we're at, and that would be off of 42nd. There's going to be one being built. They haven't really started breaking ground there yet, so I got to find out where that is. Filling up for under $2. That's a win. 4:33, time to head to the newsroom. It is some kind of world we live in, and things are changing by the day. A 23-year-old young man goes to Minneapolis and absolutely lights the internet on fire and gets basically the whole country talking about what's going on in Minnesota. Some are defending what is happening. Some are ripping it to shreds. And there's a lot of people everywhere in between who aren't either exactly sure what to make of it or have some opinion one way or the other. This is not a surprise to many people within Minnesota's state government. It certainly is not to our next guest, Mark Johnson. And he joins us here on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. He's the Minnesota State Senate Minority Leader, and he's been kind to give us a few minutes here on this holiday week. Senator, how are you?
I am doing delightful. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm wonderful. Appreciate your time. I'm going to get right to it. We could talk about Bethel football or Christmas or whatever, but there's a lot to get to here. And like the old Smokey and the Bandit song, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. So we're going to roll here.
Well played.
Yeah, well, we got to do it here. So your reaction when you saw the Nick Shirley video?
So that was interesting. So first of all, Nick coming in and doing that work was great. Great to do that. Whenever a Republican legislator does that, it sounds partisan, right? I mean, it looks like, oh, you're just saying that because you want to be in power. You want to be elected. And so the other side's not doing their job. So since 2018, when we first brought up the fraud in CCAP, the child care stuff going on, then we're just poo-pooed on and oh, you're racist. Oh, you're just doing this because you want political power. But for somebody to come in that's out of state, because the Star Tribune is not going to do it. NPR is not going to do it. WCCO is not going to do that sort of work. But this kid came in, 23-year-old, exposed exactly what's going on. And this is on top of what the prosecutor, Joe Thompson, has been alleging here, especially in the most recent months. Like, there's a ton of fraud going on. And then for that to be confirmed by these videos, really lit everybody on fire. You said it in the intro. You know, it's over 100, I think it's 125 million views
yes.
of his video right
yep.
now.
Yep, that's right.
So it's just crazy.
Any bit of surprise to you when you saw any specifics in that video?
No, this is exactly what we've been talking about. When there was the Feeding Our Future fraud that was going on, the same things were happening. You know, up in, I can't remember if it was Fergus Falls or Park Rapids, one of those towns, they were paying for, I think it was 2,200 meals. Well, the town size itself was 2,200.
Yes. So, I think it's Pelican Rapids, I think it was.
Pelican yeah. Rapids, that's right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's those sorts of things where you've got these shell companies that are collecting checks but not providing any services and making up numbers. And our state government, what they were doing was, you know, if on this child care issue, you know, if you have a mom and pop shop, you have a in-home child care or a small center, the state comes and surprises you at least once a year with a visit. But they weren't doing that for these shell companies. They weren't going and doing site visits. They weren't doing anything, which kind of means that somebody knew what was up and didn't want anything to be exposed. And that's from the inside of the government. And so even though we say, you know, go check, go do these things, nobody was doing their job. So
you know,
it's wild.
It's a great point. And yes, I've read comments from people who have emailed this show and have posted things online that I've worked in this industry, and we were audited a couple times a year. Someone would come in and make sure we're, you know, don't have the kids playing with motor oil in the
exactly.
corner, you know, stuff like that. And now you're just like, what is going on here? When you've got, we've seen these stories now on Nick Shirley's video of 14 medical transportation device companies in the same little warehouse, and there's nobody there. And now
right.
we see these things coming out in just a new way. And I get it. Some of the people at, you know, Care 11 are mad now. They're like, hey, we've been talking about this too, but have you really been trying to get to it the way this young man did it? And so I give
yeah.
him a ton of credit here.
Well, and
yeah, go ahead.
No, and they did. And to give them credit, they did do that. But, you know, with the prosecution coming from the federal prosecutor, I think the timing was just absolutely perfect for this video to come out with Nick to confirm what the prosecutor is saying. Put a little flesh on the bone.
Yeah. Some former state employees have claimed now, they have put statements out to the media that Tim Walz, the governor, not only looked the other way when people tried to say something about this, but actually punished people for speaking up. Do you
yeah.
have any evidence of that?
You know, I don't have direct evidence. We've seen that DHS group on, I think it was on Twitter, you know, they were putting out those accusations, saying those things. We've heard that from individuals who are not willing to go public with that information. So I can't confirm that that's actually what's happening. But certainly when you look at the evidence of what's going on, even the prosecutor, Joe Thompson, said they've weaponized racism. So that
yes.
within the bureaucracies, if anybody wanted to speak up about this, they were accused of being racist because they were picking on a certain group or that. And they're just like, no, what we want to do is stop the fraud.
Yeah.
But they're being accused of being racist for doing that. And so, it's wild.
Good, God-fearing Scandinavians like us, when someone calls you a racist, you back off. You're like, I don't want someone to call me that, but I have questions about these things. And that doesn't make you
right.
a hateful person. It makes you someone who wants to get to the bottom of it. And it wouldn't matter, I don't think, to anybody. I mean,
right.
we certainly have a lot of issue with people like, you know, Tim Walz and, pick your Caucasians. I mean, we have a fair amount of bile built up for anybody on the left who is doing things that just seem and maybe are in many cases truthfully, a breaking of the law. So this doesn't have anything to do with any of that. But of course, they're going to use that. And you know
right.
for a fact they use this as a tactic. They said, hey, people around here, they won't speak up. They don't want to be called racist in Minnesota. Nice Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it has nothing to do. That's just a red herring that they're using now to intimidate their opponents. and to try to cover up their tracks. But the reality is just like, it does not matter who it is that's breaking the law.
Yeah.
If it's you, if it's me, if it's, you know, Muhammad, like, we don't care.
Nope.
We want to make sure that we are prosecuting those who are breaking the law.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, elected officials and people across Minnesota who are people of color who are asking these same questions. I highly doubt that they hate black people too. I just don't think that makes any sense there. So
it has nothing to do with that. It's about the law.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do we have good government, good transparent government in this state?
Yeah.
And that's all we're asking for.
Have you seen any evidence that this money was being kicked back to Walz or Ellison, Minnesota lawmakers, anything like that? Is there any smoke to that fire at all?
No, and I, you know, that's something that's going to have to play out in the legal process. Maybe that will happen. Maybe I don't want to get into the speculation that they were lining their own pockets or anything like that. But, you know, I think more than anything, this is a large group within Minnesota that, you know, it's a way of retaining votes in a certain way. So even though you can't prove, like, maybe it personally helped them, maybe it helped them politically, you know, and making sure that flow of money didn't stop to these organizations. So that's something that they'll just have to play out in the legal process.
How much do you think has disappeared, and where did it go?
Yeah, that's the number. You know, we started off early on saying it was north of $250 million, and now people laugh at us for saying that because it looks like it's closer to $9 billion with a B. $9 billion going out the state through fraudulent transactions. So you think about your property tax. I know you have some interest in the Minnesota side. I know, you know, most people around here own some land. Maybe they have a vehicle that they're paying tab fees on. Everything is going through the roof right now. And when you think about us sending $9 billion to fraudster, it's really hard to write out that check to the county or to, you know, your state income tax, knowing that it's leaking out of the country into places like Somalia or Al-Shabaab is getting that money. People should be irate about where that is going right now.
Have we been able to track that, Mark? Do we know that that's where the money has gone to?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the charges that are going out. You know, the feds are talking about, we now own some land in Somalia because they've been able to trace the dollars back there. So they're talking about foreign cars and property and all those sorts of things that are going on. So they do know that it's flowing.
You talked about $9 billion. I looked up yesterday. So the state of Minnesota takes in about $30 billion a year, a little more, a little less some years. When you take a look at what that means, 9 versus 33, I know all $9 billion didn't come out in the same year, but what if we could throw all that money back in the Minnesota economy for a year?
Yeah, the math gets a little topsy-turvy. I mean, we spend about $66 billion a year in this state. I mean, that's just from the general fund. We collect roughly that, too. So, I mean, it's in the billions, like you say. But it's a large portion of that. Some of it's federal dollars. Some of it's general fund dollars that this fraud is tapped into. But, yeah, I mean, regardless of what that looks like, it's all tax dollars. Either we're paying for it or our kids are paying for it. And that's something like, you know, lower property taxes. That's less that we have to increase tab fees. That's less for all those things to maintain government and to make sure our infrastructure is well maintained. It is such a crime, not just the actual breaking of the law, but what it is doing to Minnesotans and what's taken away, the opportunities it's taken away.
Let's go to the phone lines. Steve wants to give a comment or a question to Mark Johnson. Steve,
yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I work with a guy who is adamant, blue in the face, mad, saying that this is all a lie. There is no fraud. I need to know something that I can... Yeah, it's like...
Well,
are you kidding? Are you kidding me? What more do you need? What I'm getting at is he's part of the 30% or 40% in this area that still voted for Walz this last time.
Yeah.
How? Where can I get something and say this is actually a fact that I can print out and say, here, prove this wrong?
Yeah.
Because he actually had the nerve to say, well, the Attorney General of Minnesota said that this was all a lie and it's just a racist attack on people.
Oh, man.
Give me something to argue. I had to walk away. I was so mad.
Yeah, Steve, thanks a lot for calling. We'll let you go.
Steve.
But, Mark, is there something, you and I have been talking about this here for the last few minutes, but what can you say? What kind of proof do we have that's without a doubt locked down ironclad?
What I would do, if you want to go talk to your friend on this one, go and just Google, Attorney Joe Thompson or Prosecutor Joe Thompson here in Minnesota, and just look at the charges that he's filing. I think they have over 70 indictments outstanding right now. And within that, they'll have some of the facts that are laid out there about, the money that people are getting in, what their organization looks like. Most of them are just shell organizations that have a P.O. box or a mailbox and that they can collect checks from the state. But he'll give you, within those press conferences, within the documents that are filed, it'll lay out exactly. If you want hard evidence and you can point to certain cases, that's a great place to start.
Yeah,
and just because it's nonpartisan, it's just from a prosecutor.
So I've got a couple more.
Really good spot.
Yeah, Mark, I got a couple more questions for you, but I need to sneak a break in quick. Can you hang with me for a couple minutes longer?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
If I haven't bored you yet.
No, this is good. And what Steve is asking is what we're all asking, because you hear so much, and there's some definite things that we can take with us. But I've got a couple more questions for you about, can we get any of this money back, and then voter registration, things like that. And I need to get that done before we finish up with you. So short break. We're going to come back on the other side with Mark Johnson, State Senator, Senate Minority Leader, East Grand Forks, when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. We're back with Minnesota State Senator Mark Johnson, Senate Minority Leader in the great, I still say the great, state of Minnesota. Mark, how do we shut off the payments to these places, and how do we get this $9 billion back?
Yeah, that's a big question right now. And so we have sent a letter over to the agencies that are responsible for sending out the dollars. And we are demanding that they have responses back by the end of the week on what they are doing to address the fraud, how they're cutting out the payments. There has been a bit of an effort too in some other realms to try to audit the payments that are going out as well too. But this is an ongoing, pretty dynamic situation right now, and we're trying to get those answers ourselves on what should be going, what the agencies are doing.
Okay. Do we have a prayer of getting any of this money back?
I mean, I don't know. We'll probably get some, where they've actually bought assets with it, whether it's cars or if it's property or whatever it's going to be. But yeah, I think you could probably guess, quite a bit of that. It's going to be non-recoverable dollars that have gone outside the country, and there's no way to trace it at that point.
Story came out today that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid has awarded about $193 million to the Minnesota Department of Health to be used to boost rural health care. This is the first tranche of a 5-year funding program the president signed into law in July. Mark, how do we make sure that this money doesn't end up in the pockets of the fraudsters?
Man, I mean, the biggest thing is just transparency in these issues. The agency, the governor has the duty to not only make sure that the programs are effective, but then they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing as far as oversight on it, making sure the dollars are going to the right places. Right now, I have very little trust in the governor making those calls, making the right decisions, putting the right people in place to have that happen. He's never been held accountable before. His biggest downfall, I think, was going and running for vice president. So people started asking questions and asking, well, how are you governing in the state? And that's really brought a lot of things to light. And I think part of the reason why this exposure is hitting so hard right now. So, yeah, I don't know. Until we get a new governor, it's going to be tough to guarantee that we can get get people in the right places to do the job.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. I have felt over those last 2-3 days for the first time that Tim Walz cannot win re-election. I think this is too much, even for him, even in Minnesota, to overcome. Am I crazy?
Well, you are from Minnesota, so that does make you a little bit crazy. You know, we also elected Ventura and who was the other? Oh, yeah, Al Franken. So we've got a little streak of crazy. But I think in those situations where somebody new and exciting and whatnot, they've got a shot. But here we've got something where it's just been a proven failure throughout the administration. I think you're right. I mean, there's never been a better opportunity for a Republican to come in. We need a change.
At minimum, he's beatable, right, Mark? He's got to be labeled as beatable for the first time.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I think you're spot on.
Well, we can only hope. And I just think that the independents and the moderates and the suburbs are going to look at this and say, I'm sick of this guy. If nothing else, I'm sick of all this, and let's try something else. Mark, I could talk to you all night. I appreciate your time so much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. Keep fighting, brother. We need you. We need you big time, and thanks for taking some time today.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate your work on this, too.
All right.
So
thanks a lot.
Have a great one.
You got it. Senate Minority Leader Mark Johnson. From East Grand Forks, Steve Hallstrom Show, Hour 2 after this. Hour number 2 of the Steve Hallstrom Show, brought to you in part by Dakota Implant and Sedation Center. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his entire career to transforming smiles and restoring confidence, and he's done it one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it right away. It's not just a job, it's a calling, something you felt like you just was stirred to do to help people out. And at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everyone in between. So whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here to help with skill, compassion, and experience. That's an unbeatable combination right there. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or if you're just ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. Before I get to the top 5 at 5, I want to play you an audio clip that came from CNN. And Scott Jennings, there has to be a special place in the annals of conservative history for Scott Jennings. He walks into the lion's den basically every day against people who hate everything that we stand for on the right and just try to tear it all down. And there's been a lot of talk now with the increased scrutiny on Minnesota fraud. And friends, the thing you have to, that you can't forget about this, is that we are watching history right now. This is historic. I guarantee you that when all of these fraud plans got hatched, and by the way, it's been pointed out to me by couple people on the text line over the last couple of days of something they're 100% right about, and that is they did not come here from Somalia knowing how to cheat the system out of millions and billions of dollars. They had to be shown by somebody, taught how the system works. Hey, here's what you do. I imagine they probably could figure it out somehow, but there had to have been someone who said, hey, here's the back door on this. And we have Keith Ellison, a recording of his back, was it 4 or 5 years ago, of him basically saying, hey, nothing's going to happen here. You're going to be fine, all that. And yes, those things can be taken out of context. But those that have looked at this have dived into it and said, no, this is legitimate, no question about that. But there has to have been somebody who helped them navigate this system in Minnesota. And you have to wonder how many promises were made in return for votes. And now with the Minnesota laws, you can vouch for people. They don't even have to, you know, have any ID at all. Oh, this is what, and it could be the same 8 people that just go around the whole Twin Cities. You just don't know. And the fact that we don't know leads people like me to say, well, there's a possibility that all these things could be going on. So it's not the fault of those of us who are asking questions. It's the fault of the people that allowed this to happen to begin with. But anyway, Scott Jennings goes into CNN every day and fights this battle where he just brings common sense to the table day after day after day. And he got into an exchange yesterday with Abby Phillip, who is one of the panelists on CNN, who is one of the three or four liberals they have there. And she tried to push her narrative about this fraud scheme in Minnesota with the Somali people. And this is how that sounded.
This idea that nothing is being done, that no one is being held accountable, that this was just let to run rampant is completely false.
Well, some people have been held accountable, but I think in the opinion of most Republicans, not nearly enough. And truthfully, until somebody in a position of power, until somebody in a position in Minnesota, elected position, who was in charge of administering this or having some oversight over it, goes to jail, it's honestly never going to stop. Look.
Mm-hmm. He is 100% right. There might be some low-level associates here who do 90 days of work release or whatever, but until there is an oh bleep moment, like, oh my gosh, that guy is going to jail? That woman's facing charges? There has to be some of that before it's going to stop. Because you can always find a sacrificial lamb or two that will take the fall for the big guy. We've seen this over and over and over again in politics. And Scott Jennings is 100% right. Until we see somebody in handcuffs being booked into the county jail that we recognize and that we know and that means something, this is not going to end. It's not. And I'm glad that he had the wherewithal to say it in front of people who hate everything that he stands for. I wanted to play that for you here before the 5 o'clock, the top five at five. It is the top five at five, and it's time for what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Story number one, State Representative Jim Joy of Hawley is saying this new paid family leave program that's going to go in on Thursday, we need to shut that down or suspend it until we get to the bottom of everything that's going on with all this fraud in Minnesota. He said on our station earlier today, right now, quote, Minnesota has a fraud problem. I don't think we should be starting any new programs. I think everything should be suspended or held up for a while. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota says half of $18 billion worth of Medicaid claims paid to Minnesota programs could be bogus, and that 14 state programs have been targeted for fraud. Now on top of all of that comes this paid family medical leave plan, which will offer up to 20 weeks of leave per year for employees who work in Minnesota. And it's not a full paycheck replacement, but it's 70%. Well, you have to wonder with every state program going on here, is there money disappearing out the back door? And I think Jim Joy is saying the right thing. Of course, this won't happen. There's just too much momentum for this to start. I cannot see any way that the state of Minnesota can put the kibosh on it here in the next 48 hours, although I would love to see it. It's a bad program to start out with for the people of Minnesota. It's a bad program. I'll maybe do a little bit on this tomorrow. I've looked into this a ton, researched a lot, because we're active in Minnesota business and politics as well. It's not what you think it is. And if you live in Minnesota, you're going to get some surprises that nobody told you about. If you're a worker, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be great. It's not what you think it is, I promise you. So Jim Joy, right on. I don't think it's going to happen, but he is 100% bingo on this one. Story number two, the WDAY newsroom just down the hall says North Dakota's Highway Patrol numbers show deadly crashes have gone down in the state since the primary seatbelt law went into effect August of 2023. Now law enforcement can pull you over for the simple reason that you're not wearing your seatbelt. It used to be that they had to cite you for something else first. But in 2023, there were 105 deadly crashes, North Dakota. Last year, it was 89. So far, there have been only 80. And yes, we've got a couple days left here, but Captain Brian Neewin of the North Dakota Highway Patrol said, we've not seen that level in about 50 years. So good job, North Dakota drivers. Story number three, Valley News Live reports that North Dakota is experiencing a significant surge in influenza cases. Health officials are reporting an increase in hospitalizations and deaths attributed to the flu, COVID-19, and RSV. Last week alone, the state recorded more than 870 new flu cases, and All True Hospital in Grand Forks indicated that nearly half of their flu tests last week returned positive results. So if it seems to you that there's been some junk rolling around out there, you are right, my friend. There certainly has been. Story number four, Valley News Live reports that there is a new and potentially deadlier form of fentanyl spreading across the Midwest. Oh, goody. Law enforcement officials warn that even the opioid overdose reversal drug naloxone or Narcan may not be effective against it. The drug is known as purple fentanyl, been seized in Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Minnesota. The pills and powder have a distinctive purple hue. There have been some cases now where people have been busted with this stuff. And people are really worried about where this is going to go. But if you hear anything about this purple fentanyl, bad news. It's as bad as the original stuff, and the Narcan is not going to help. And finally, story number five from CNBC. An improved supply of homes for sale is adding momentum to the real estate market across the country. Active listings are now about 12% higher than they were a year ago, according to Realtor.com, still 6% lower than they were pre-pandemic. And buyers appear to be responding. Pending home sales, which count signed contracts on existing homes, rose more than expected in November. They were 3.3% higher than October and 2.6% higher than November of last year. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, 6.19%, where it's been very consistent over about the last 3 weeks. So more homes on the market, more deals happening. Maybe these interest rates getting down close to six are making people say, you know what, I think we might be able to move after all. We can only hope. It is 5:18 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a very cool way to celebrate Valentine's Day, and you could get the whole thing for free if you are a lucky winner of a new contest we're doing. We'll tell you about that. This is a fun one. Coming up next. It is 5:23 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Addison had to go help in another part of the building, so I'm flying solo the rest of the program. So if you give a call to the program, 271-1100, just know that I'm not going to be able to do my normal greeting. I might have to lock you on the phone. If you start hearing programming kind of on hold, then you know you're in line. So if you give a call, just know that. But glad to have a few people call in, jump in on the program, ask whatever question you want, offer whatever opinion you would like to. We'd be glad to do that. So let's do that. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Good afternoon. Give me your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Matthew. I'm calling up from Moorhead, Minnesota.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I just wanted to call in today. You know, my work schedule changed. I haven't been able to catch the shows for a couple of months, but I just wanted to call in. Wish you a happy new year to you and the team.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. Happy New Year to you as well. So are you on a different work schedule now and you can call in, or what's going on with the job stuff?
Well, I got a couple of days off here, and I'm actually just on the road to go see some family, actually up in Tioga here this week. And I thought, you know, I know Steve's on from 4 to 6. I just wanted to give you guys a call and just keep doing what you're doing.
All right. I appreciate that. Tioga is some beautiful country. I'm up there a fair amount, so I hope you're able to enjoy some good time with the family. Matt, I know you to be someone who tries to see things both ways. You probably lean a little left of the center, so a little bit different than most of us. What is your perspective on what's happening in Minnesota right now with all the fraud investigations and allegations?
I think that's a really fair question, and this is where you and I would actually agree a lot, because, you know, when it comes to situations or, I guess, topics like healthcare and education, that's really where I'm left leaning. You know, I think in a democracy, we need to have good institutions. We need to have faith in our institutions. And I think we should provide, to an extent, in the 21st century with affordable healthcare, you know, taking a page from some other first world countries. Talking about the fraud in Minnesota, you know, I'm I'm with Trump a lot when it comes to immigration, right? And I think that Tim Walz is a letdown for the state. There's really not a lot of accountability in the left side of politics. And if you disagree with anything, you're often, you know, called a racist or misogynist or, you know, all the terms.
Yes, I do.
So, I ended up seeing that. I think it was Nick Shirley who kind of did a little bit of an expose. It was all over X this week. And yeah, I mean, I'm with the side of rooting out any and all fraud, you know, whether it's at the highest level or the lowest level, but that's honestly a disgrace.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about that. I know you're just tuning in, but we've hit it fairly hard over the last few days. And it's hard for me too, Matt, because anybody who knows me knows that I am the farthest thing you could get from a hateful person, certainly because of skin color. I've got members of my own family who are Asian and black, and I'd take a bullet for them the same I would for anybody in my family. And so when you hear these charges of you can't say that, you must be racist if you look at this, I'm as mad at Tim Walz as I would be at anybody in the Somali community. And Tim Walz is as pasty white as they come. It has nothing to do with skin color. But one of the tactics that some on the left have used is, okay, let's try to funnel this through something where no one's going to say anything about it because they're good people. They don't want to be called racist, and they won't ask any questions if it goes through a certain group of people that looks a certain way. And so for too long, I think people on our side, on my side, have said, you know what, I'm going to stay away. I don't want to say anything because I want to seem like a racist. And I think at some point you just have to not care anymore. I guess that's where I'm at on this whole thing right now.
Well, and I honestly agree. And, you know, here's my issue with immigration, right? Because when I talk about healthcare, when I talk about education, looking at how other, you know, developed first world countries, wealthy countries legislate upon that, they actually do something very different with immigration. For legal immigrants into a lot of these other countries, they only let you in if you're extremely high skilled, highly educated, mm-hmm. right? And if you look at the statistics in our own country, I think it's only like 10% of all immigrants, first and second generation, or even, you know, breaking even when it comes to their impact on our economy and what they actually utilize from our own taxes. Right. So, you know, if we can just be honest with that, you know, it's actually not really good for our economy or for our country to just import anybody. Other first world countries, it's very difficult to get into them. Why? Because they've learned their lesson. They want it to be highly educated and highly skilled individuals who can contribute and who can assimilate. And, you know, we're seeing this firsthand with a state right next door.
Yep. 100% we are. Matt, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate someone who tries to see things. You can have your opinions on certain issues, and you and I aren't going to agree on everything, but I appreciate when someone says, hey, I'm going to kind of depart from what people on my side tell me I'm supposed to think about everything and look at things with an open mind. I talked about that a lot yesterday. I did a commentary on this whole thing. The people from Somalia who have come here have generally done it by legal immigration methods. It's not been, you know, border breakers the southern border coming across. And so I think there's a bigger question that we have to ask ourselves, and that's the one that you pointed to, is what is our goal with immigration? Because I think you would struggle to find many people in this country, conservative or liberal, who don't think some kind of immigration is fine, is good even for the country. But can you bring in a few people that maybe are struggling, who are in tough? Absolutely. But you should be able to know what you're bringing in, and you should be able to take people who generally want to make the country better and who come from cultures who at least understand when you come here, there's an opportunity. But we have a sense of justice here. We have a sense of right and wrong. You can't steal things. Why would we want to import people? Forget about the doctors and the lawyers. I'm just talking about, why would we want to import people from cultures where do whatever you can to get ahead, and it doesn't matter if you're doing the right thing or not. I think we need to have a bigger conversation about immigration. Of course, this is going to be a big, you know, racism topic too, of course, but people like you and I, Matt, know that that's anything but the truth. I've got to run, my man, but drive safe on the way up to Tioga. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling the show today.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Take care. 531, Steve Hallstrom Show. It is time now to get a look at our latest news headlines. 536 here. We got about 25 minutes to go on the program today. Would love to hear from you. 701-271-1100. If you've got a comment on this story, a lot's been said about this one, I know. And at some point, we're all going to get a little bit tired of hearing about this whole thing. But there is new information happening pretty much constantly, new investigations. And boy, this is, I said earlier, it is historic what we're seeing here. And I'm sure there were a lot of people that never thought that they would get caught, that it would never see the light of day. So very interesting stuff there. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Thanks for giving a call, my friend. Give me your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, it's Andrew. How you doing?
Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
I'm on the road. I'm delivering for my company, so I thought I'd give you a call back. Always good conversations that we have about this kind of stuff, and the fraud is at the center of it, and thank God for that. This is two thoughts here. One is, how do we get the journalistic integrity back to the standards of years gone by? Because this fraud would have, you know, if you go back to 2014, 15, 16, the fraud has been traced back that far.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And of course, Republicans and the Democrats are both accountable here. Obviously, more Democrats than Republicans in this instance, but the Republicans that tried to blow the whistle, got, you know, accused of being racist, who cares? You can call me a racist. It's not going to become true. So why not stick to your guns and say it's not racism, it's culturalism. When you graft in a different culture from a different country that doesn't respect the government at all, and they're just going to bring their same practices to extrapolate money for their own benefit, it's just, so, you know, they don't respect America, they don't respect our government. So, you know, why don't we get back to some of this journalistic integrity? How do we have consequences for lying in the journalism world, right? Because there should be penalties for after a story has been out there for a long time and then it's proven to be a lie, then retroactively we should fine them or take away their journalistic license and integrity and everything like that. How do we get the journal? I mean, this is a large question. We can't answer this right now, but that's the main point I want to bring up is, how do we get journalistic integrity back in America? We're relying on 23-year-old guys like Nick Shirley to all of a sudden go on YouTube. How did we get here? You know what I mean?
It's Andrew, hey, thanks. I'm going to let you go because there's a few other folks that are wanting to call, but thank you for giving a call. You raised some really good questions. So take care. Thanks again for giving a call. Appreciate it very much. So let me kind of address this. There's two things that Andrew mentioned there that really need to be addressed. Number one, and I gave a little commentary on this yesterday. There are black people who come to this country from regions where there is good education. They believe in law and order. They understand justice and crime. And they want to come here and make the country better. Why would we possibly want to import people who don't have that same compass? That's not racism. That's just common sense, for gosh sakes. And that's why we're here on this station. And with what we do in the conservative media is just to try to bring, I don't think a lot of what we talk about is necessarily political at all. That's just absolute common sense for me. Kenya is very near to Somalia, kind of right in that area in East Africa. But I've read a few things online about the cultural differences there, and Kenya just seems very different. But there's part of this Somali culture where people are brought up, they don't have much to begin with, and they're wired to just survival of the fittest. And you can't even a lot of times say it's their fault because it's all they know. Like, get money wherever, their scruples, morals, whatever. They don't have that moral code. What I'm reading, I could be reading something wrong, but you got other countries in East Africa where it's different. They're taught different ways. So it's a statistical reality, apparently, over there. Now, it's a privilege to come to this country, and if you come here, you have to have someone communicate to you that you have a responsibility to play by the rules. But when you are importing people, as many as you can, as fast as you can, like I think has happened with the Biden administration and other under the Obama administration, I don't think they cared. I just think they wanted the country to look different. And I guess to a point I can understand that if you're a person of color and you want other people of color to come so the country feels more comfortable, I guess I get all that, but there has to be a responsibility too to say, what kind of people are we bringing in? Having nothing to do with skin color. Nothing. It has nothing to do with that. Never has, never will, for me. The other question Andrew raised was the question about journalism. This could be a five-hour show to talk about journalism. The problem with CNN, I'll just use them as an example, they think that we are the ones that should be thrown in jail for our journalism. It's just when you're starting from a certain point of view, it's really hard to believe that people who look at things differently than you are not that they're not being, it's hard to believe that people aren't being dishonest or that they're lying. It's just they see the world differently. I guarantee you most of these people in the Twin Cities newsrooms, they see life very differently than you and me, and they think Trump is an idiot, and they don't like Donald Trump or anything that has to do with him. So when Donald Trump says we got to, you know, look into these Somalians and whatever, they're going to immediately push back against that, and they're going to start making allowances. This is human nature. Speeches, entire college classes have been run on just studying this one issue. When someone agrees with you, when you like them, you tend to side with them, and you tend to have a chip on your shoulder against people who see things differently than you. So it's hard in a newsroom for some guy to come in and say, hey, let's investigate this stuff. Let's go visit and your news director is like, oh, we don't, that's a, you're, all the Trumpers are saying all that. We can't be like the Trumpers. And so because of that, they say, okay, just write up a little something. So we're covering our, but don't get all, and don't start asking too many questions. Just, you know, report on what the U.S. District Attorney guy said, and just do what we have to so we can move on as quickly as possible. Now you have Nick Shirley coming in doing the real reporting. People are saying in the Twins, well, we've been doing journalism on that. Not like he has. Not like he has. And we also have to remember that we've got to be fair to go to certain places on the day before Christmas. Maybe it's not. Maybe they don't have kids there. I get that. So I start asking those questions too. But then you hear people like Kristen Robbins and people like Mark Johnson saying, yeah, no, this is not some isolated day before Christmas thing. This is what is happening over and over and over again. So it is, it's a little territorial. It's a little parochial. It's a little bit of us versus them, the Sharks and the Jets. It's all those things. And there is just a decorum within those big newsrooms where they will not report on things the way they might be reported by Liz Collin. Thank God we have people like Liz and people like Nick Shirley and people like Michelle Tafoya and others who are doing good work and bringing these things to light. And you know what? It's not all white people that are doing it. There are some black people that are saying all the same things, and I don't think anyone's going to call them a racist. All right, 5:45, let's go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Give me your name and where you're calling from, please.
Fergus Falls.
Hey, how's it going in Fergus Falls today?
It is going good.
Wonderful. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Steve. I've got a question. I heard Donald Trump honor Mike Lindell in the governor's race. Is that an official endorsement?
I saw something about that, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Dwayne.
Dwayne, I know that President Trump has made a supportive comment about Mike. I don't know if it's an official endorsement, but yes, he did. He said something to the effect of Mike Lindell would be a great governor for the state of Minnesota or something to that effect. I don't know if it was an official endorsement. I could look it up real quick. You probably could too, or somebody on the line might know if you want to text us that one, 237-1590. But I don't know that for a fact, Dwayne.
Okay, well, for my part, I think that's endorsement enough. And being solid MAGA, I think we need nobody other than Mike Lindell. Although we need Mike Lindell for governor and Royce White for Senate, we still need to clean up our voting that they have a chance in this ugly climate of fraud in Minnesota.
You know, Dwayne, you bring up a really good point, and it's something that I meant to try to get to here today, tomorrow sometime, and that is we know about all the monetary fraud going on. How much voting fraud do you think is going on here in the state of Minnesota? You just know that there has to be some of that going on, too. Now, it's statistically possible, knowing the population of Minnesota, that Hennepin and Ramsey County alone can give enough votes to someone to win the election. But, man, I would like to know what the real numbers are in these elections over the last few years. Because, you know, outstate Minnesota came out in droves for President Trump, and he didn't even get close, really, in this last election. So it's a really good question. Dwayne, I have concerns about Mike Lindell's ability to win, and I wish I didn't, because there are not – you can't find a better warrior for the conservative cause – for election justice, for all those things, and Mike Lindell. I just think that most Minnesotans in the middle ground where you have to win are going to look at Mike Lindell as being kind of a wacko. And I hate to say it that way, but I'm being honest. I don't know that he can win. I see some of the other people that are in, and I say maybe they would have a better chance, like a Kendall Qualls, who's a rock-solid conservative in a lot of different ways. Lisa Damuth has a lot behind her. You're right that people that are 100% Trump supporters in Minnesota, they would respond to Mike Lindell. I just don't think there, and I could be wrong, but I just don't think there are enough of them to get him over the hump. And I think it might have some center-right Republicans kind of, you know, rolling their eyes and staying home and not voting because of that. So I don't know what the real situation is, but I have concerns about Mike's ability to win. I just do.
If we remember back with before 24, all the negative on Trump,
mm-hmm.
and look what we got.
That's fair.
We got the right man at.
That's fair. It is. Now I will say that President Trump ran a remarkable campaign. I'm so glad he's in, but he did benefit from two bad candidates. It was a Joe Biden and then a Kamala Harris. They were both terrible, and that helped. But you're right when you say, hey, you don't give up. And in this case, you know, Dwayne, we might see a repeat of history, because Tim Walz is not Tim Walz of 4 years ago or 8 years ago. He is a faulty candidate. And he is way more beatable than he's ever been. So I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I just have a weird feeling in my stomach that maybe he doesn't have enough appeal to the middle to win. But I could be wrong, because I've been wrong about these things before. Dwayne, thank you for giving a call. I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks for giving a call from Fergus Falls today. Take care, my friend. All right, it is 5:50. We've got one more break to take here on the Steve Alstrom Show. If there's I'd love to hear from some of you about the Mike Lindell question. Do you think Mike Lindell can win? I think he could do a very good job. I really do. I just don't know. But let me know what you think about that. Text line still open, 237-1590, or give me a call, 701-271-1100. Back after this. 5:54, finishing up here on a Tuesday. From the text line, Paul says, hey, Steve, I was listening earlier. You were wondering where that Quick Trip was on 25th. It's Keeney Corner across from CVS Pharmacy near the police department that's there on 25th. Thank you, Paul. Now I get where you're talking about, kind of 25th and 13th there. So Thank you for that. He also says, by the way, I got an idea for you. If you are looking for a restaurant that wouldn't be a whole lot of work, kiosk restaurants with sushi and ramen noodles. Boy, now I'm getting hungry because it's just about supper time. Thank you for that. I appreciate the heads up on that one, Paul. Also from the text line, Steve, Mike Lindell needs to pound the bleep out of voter fraud. Well, isn't that right? I mean, Mike Lindell would be the perfect guy, right, if he was elected to get under the hood of what's been going on with the voter fraud in Minnesota. So a very good point there. Let's go back to the phone line. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line is still open here for the day. Welcome to the show, my friend. Give me your name and where you're calling from.
Is this me, Steve?
Yes, sir. That is you.
Yeah, this is Dana in Bismarck.
Hey, Dana.
Hey, with the Mike Lindell deal, if the people really want to get to the bottom of all this fraud and the voter fraud and everything else, you can't put the same people back in there that made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So reach out there and take a chance and give these new guys a shot.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose.
No, you're 100% right. The problem is, Dana, we got to convince a very blue state to do that, and that's the hard part. It's not going to be hard to convince people like you and me to give something else a shot. My hope is that all this stuff going on now, it takes something bad to happen, unfortunately. Donald Trump lost the presidency. Well, lost, you know what I mean. But it didn't help him any that COVID happened during his final year. It was going to be really tough to come out on top after that. Joe Biden falls apart. He just starts losing his marbles. Going to be very tough to win, and so he loses. It's almost sometimes like you win because the other guy falls apart, and we certainly saw that with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Tim Walz has fallen apart, and for the first time in 10 years, I've thought Tim Walz is beatable, and I don't think he can win if the Republicans can run a candidate that at least checks most of the boxes. And that's where I'm struggling, Dana. I'm trying to figure out, do the Republicans go for the MAGA candidate that a lot of us would like to go in there and, you know, make some heads? Or do you go for kind of more of a, that guy seems okay. He's not going to ruffle too many feathers, but good, solid center, right, play it safe kind of Republican. I don't have the answer to that. And I wish that I did, but you're right. People in Minnesota are going to have, like Donald Trump says, what the heck have you got to lose? I mean, that state is, there's so many things that are just a mess in Minnesota. We need somebody different. So you're right about that.
If the people that don't vote because they can't stand either one of the parties would figure out that they are the power, they're the majority.
That's right.
And if they go out and just slap that name in there to see if it works, they'd be so surprised. They'd get everyone they voted for.
Yep, 100%. Hey, Dana, thanks for calling, my man. Great to hear from you again. You take care, okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Yep, Dana from Bismarck. Always glad to hear his perspectives on the news of the day as well. Well, these are the days, my friend, when I wish I could do the show till like 7 o'clock, because I had a bunch of calls coming in, and sorry, when we're flying solo here, I can't take multiple calls at the same time and put them in queue when I'm on live. So we had a bunch of people I know that wanted to weigh in. We'll keep talking about this. There is something going on here in Minnesota, and this is why we pray. Honestly, I hate to make politics something of religion, but in this case, man, we need something different to happen. All right, you have a great night. Thanks for being with me. Take care and keep on flying that flag.